In my book, The Unbound Soul, I discuss emotion to a great degree, as well as thought, senses, memory, and other levels as well. And I discuss them in terms of frequency. By that I mean, you can, being around somebody, pick up on certain feelings. You may experience certain feelings that aren't quote-unquote yours, not yours. The same thing also occurs with thought. So thought is a process that's occurring in the body, but it's also something which is occurring around the body. And in this sense, it makes it very, very difficult to isolate exactly what thought is. Of course, for functionality purposes, we can say that we're able to, through intent, use thought to formulate reality, to make mental models. But a great percentage, if you look into the thought that goes on, a great, great percentage of thought is non-functional. Just judgments and comments and really mental noise that appears to have no meaning and no purpose whatsoever besides to tear down or build up, to compare in a rather useless fashion. She's prettier than me, or I'm uglier than her, or that sort of thing. It serves no purpose other than sapping energy. When we really look at thought as it is, its root is in a concept, the first thought. What I call the first idol, which is the self. The concept that I am separate from everything else creates a duality. It creates a competition between I and the other. So therefore, there's always a comparison that's going to be going on. And this creates a tremendous disharmony that spirals out of control, and pretty soon we've got all these thoughts and qualifications and qualities which we have assigned to, quote-unquote, describe the self. I'm tall, I'm thin, I'm beautiful, I'm intelligent, I'm not intelligent, he's stronger than I am, I'm stronger than he is, all that sort of thing, which really serves very, very little purpose. Now, if we were to observe the totality of thought during the day and we were to assess what percentage of that thought serves a functional purpose that is beneficial to our existence, and I highly encourage the listener to engage in that little experiment, you'll find that it is an extremely small percentage of thought. It'll be very, very difficult to track because as you go into thought, you're no longer consciously aware. It's like you're sucked into it. And therefore, you're no longer able to track time. You might not even be aware that you're thinking at the time that thinking is occurring, this unconscious, soul-sucking thought process that occurs. And so, in order to gain a functional understanding of thought, first we need to actually start observing thought as it is, without judgment. Just start to notice what's going on with thought, and as thought's occurring, feel inside the body the disharmony that is occurring. Now, being able to perceive energy bodies, when I train my students, it's very, very easy for me to see when there is a frequency of consciousness that's the root of their perception at the time versus when thought and mind frequency is the root of their perception. Their energy actually moves up into the head and forward. They start to look like some sort of alien, you know, with the head projecting some Star Wars creature, energetically speaking. And the energy gets very thin around the body, very narrow around the body, and a sense of disharmony is there. However, when rooted in consciousness, which is an awareness of what is, thoughts may still occur, but they are not identified as my thought. It's just frequencies of thought coming by. A student of mine once said, it's like seeing a bird fly overhead versus reaching up and grabbing that bird. Most of us are totally identified with what's going on in our mind, and so therefore we're constantly grabbing that bird instead of just allowing it to fly overhead. So with regard to thought, we're going to observe it and let it be without attaching an ownership to it. It's my thought. And when that starts to happen, when we start to see that thought is not my thought or your thought, we start to get a little bit more freedom from the disharmony of thought. And this is truly a wonderful experience. And so, therefore, thoughts tend to occur less often, but the thoughts that do occur are less distracting, certainly less disharmonious and less impactful on the body in an unpleasant way. And then, of course, when the mind is telling, or when the thoughts are telling a story which is not beneficial, or directing us in a way that is disharmonious in terms of action, we're able to look at that thought and realize, oh, that has nothing to do with me. That has nothing to do with anything. Just let it be. Of course, there really is no you. So we're not going to attach ourselves to thoughts anymore, but instead just allow them to occur and really start to enjoy being curious about the thought process and how it feels in the body when thinking is occurring. So enjoy that. Play with it, and I look forward to any questions you may have, any insights that you may have, and I'm here to help. Thank you, and have a great day. Bye-bye.